From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. I had to think for a minute. Thanks for joining us on EWTN's Open Line. The number to be on the program is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. And we'll even put you straight to the front of the line if you are outside of North America at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. Or you can text your question to Father Wade. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screener is Matt Gubensky and Jeff Burson handling our social media efforts. So if you are watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And you'll also see that Father Wade Menezes is live and in living color in the studio with us today. Lift high the cross.
Amen, amen. And if I can just back up a little bit to the transfiguration, it is good to be here, I might add.
It is good that we are here.
That's right, that's right.
And I say that to Johnette all the time if we're in a particularly beautiful environment or in the middle of a great liturgy or something, I'll often lean over and say, it is good that we are here.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. And it is Lift High the Cross Day, this Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, the day before the Little Marian Octave ends tomorrow in Our Lady of Sorrows on September 15th, and an early shout-out to my sister Susie and her birthday tomorrow on Our Lady of Sorrows. And I talked last week about that Little Marian Octave and how this feast day today on the 14th, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, falls during this Marian Octave. And so I want to talk about the Feast of the Triumph
of the
Cross.
Are you one of your sister Mary's dolers?
Yes, I am. Actually, where our Blessed Mother has $7, my sister Susie has $4. Their names are Jace, Lane, Wade, and Brett.
There you go.
Seven sorrows she has. Okay. Anyway, instead of talking about, well, this is faith, family, and fellowship, isn't
right.
it? Okay, all right. So here we go, talking about the great Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. The cross is triumphant, precisely because the sacrifice on it transcends all space and time. Here we are 2,000 years later still celebrating it. And this is because the high priest and sacrificial victim on the cross is Jesus Christ, who is God, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. And God transcends all space and time as he is the author and creator of all space and time. Thus, Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the altar of the cross is for all people, in all places, for all time, indeed for all creation. Hebrews 10 tells us, by offering just once, by one offering, he has forever perfected those who are being sanctified. That's verse 14. And Hebrews 10 again, verse 10 says, we have been sanctified through the one offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And Hebrews 9, verse 14, on the cross, Jesus offered himself up unblemished to God, his heavenly Father. Now, this triumph of the cross is made present and perpetuated in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and it can be said then that the altar of sacrifice inside a church is in continuity with the altar of the cross. This is precisely why the priest reverences the altar with a kiss upon entering the sanctuary during the procession at the beginning of Mass. And consequently then, Holy Mass lets the triumph of the cross or the exaltation of the cross be applied to one's past, present, and future personal and practical circumstances. The cross is in our life. We cannot get away from it, both the ill and the good, we could say. Through the sacrifice of the Mass, one has the ability to make every day the triumph of the cross in his or her life. And how precious it is then, Jack, that we have the celebration of Mass daily if we want. One is obligatory, the Sunday Mass, of course, but even the weekdays we can go if we can. This is why St. Francis of Assisi once said, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world." A versicle in response traditionally applied when making the Stations of the Cross, and especially during Lent. So, what exactly did Jesus do on the cross? He did the following. He shed his blood to redeem us and wash away our sins, Ephesians 1:7. He delivered us from a futile way of life, 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. On the cross, Jesus made it possible for us to become children of God, Galatians 6:15. And he made it possible for us to share in the divine nature, 2 Peter 1, verse 4. And on the cross, Jesus also made the most pure act of unconditional love and poured out his infinite mercy, John 19:34. He also humbled himself and obeyed his Father, Philippians 2:8. He forgave us and taught us to forgive others, Luke 23:34. And on the cross, Jesus drew all people to himself, John 12:32. And on the cross, he gave us the opportunity to believe in him so as to have eternal life, John 3, verses 14 and 15. Jesus also made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. And on the cross, he gave us the Holy Spirit, John 19, verse 30. And while on the cross, Jesus also gave us his most holy Mother Mary to be our mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, which we celebrate tomorrow in the Universal Church as a memorial, John 19, verses 26 and 27. My friends, during the few hours that Jesus hung on the cross, he did more to transform the human race than has ever been or ever will be done in all the hours in our history of the world. So let us live to worship Jesus and tell as many people as possible about the triumph or exaltation of his holy cross. St. Paul the Cross, who died in 1775, says this, quote, "Do you want to celebrate solemnly this feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross? This feast should be celebrated at every moment in the inner temple of the true lovers of the crucified. It is celebrated by accepting sufferings in silence when there is no support from anyone else. Yet this is a joyous feast also. So let your countenance be cheerful and serene," end quote. That's a fantastic quote from St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of the Passionist Order. Now, Jack, I want to close with this. This is gained in popularity. I always get a lot of great responses from this. I close this week's springboard with it. It's simply titled, "Look at the Crucifix." And I share it again, as I did recently. I share it again today, specifically because of this great universal feast day of the exaltation of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's titled, "Look at the Crucifix." If you want to know God, look at the crucifix. If you want to love God, look at the crucifix. If you want to know the infinite, eternal love of God, look at the crucifix. If you wish to have a part in giving that same love to others, look at the crucifix. If you want to know who you are and what your worth is, look at the crucifix. If you want to know how you were saved from the very jaws of hell, look at the crucifix. If you want to know how much God wants to save your immortal human soul, look at the crucifix. If you want to know who will lead you to heaven, look at the crucifix. If you want to live well, look at the crucifix. And if you want to die well, look at the crucifix. St. Catherine of Siena says, quote, "The crucifix is an open book that all can read. The crucifix is an infinite declaration of love." And so our prayer today on this Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, my friends, could be, "My Lord Jesus Christ, inspire me to always read the crucifix and to do this often. Grant that I may return thanks and love to you for your great love for me." And let us not forget the memorial tomorrow of Our Lady of Sorrows. We said last week during the springboard that Mary did not faint or spasm at the cross. No, she stood at the cross. And this is why Pope Julius II stomped out the devotion to the so-called spasmus virginis, the spasm of the Virgin, because John the Evangelist specifically tells us that Mary stood at the cross. Did she weep? Yes. Did she have tears? Yes. Was she sorrowful? Yes. That's the feast day title tomorrow, Our Lady of Sorrows. She had all those things, but she did not faint or spasm or fall to the ground unconscious. She stood at the cross.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. Straight ahead, we'll talk to Cher in the great state of Illinois, Kathleen in Boise, Idaho, and we've got plenty of time for your phone calls. The number again, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday, talking faith, family, and fellowship with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, EWTN's National Catholic Register is America's most trusted Catholic news source with a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. You can give a gift subscription or subscribe yourself and save up to 42%. Just visit ncregister.com today. And you can receive daily, weekly alerts and emails. Simply visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. First up is Cher in Illinois, watching us today on YouTube. Cher, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome, Cher. Thank you for your call today.
Thank you. My question is, earlier this year, there was a scripture passage read during Mass. It was about Saints Peter and Paul, and I believe Saint Peter, for some reason, was reluctant. Saint Paul did talk to him, and in the end, they ended up going to Cornelius's home, who had many Gentiles there, and that in the event that took place there, that for some reason there was great importance, and it was pivotal to the early church. And so my question is, too, that was that Cornelius, that particular Cornelius reference to, is he the same Cornelius that during the Mass, when after the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, and the apostles, and then they name the saints, and then there's Linus, Cletus, and Cornelius, is that the same Cornelius that's referenced to that scripture passage, who is also, there's a St. Cornelius whose feast day is on Thursday? And lastly, is the in the scripture passage from yesterday's gospel, Luke 7, passages 1 through 10, the centurion in that passage, is he Cornelius? I don't know why I thought someone told me that.
Okay, to the last question, I've never heard that he is Cornelius. That would be a great question for Father Mitch on his show, because he's such a great scripture scholar, because he's such a professional when it comes to the biblical languages, the ancient biblical languages. I have not heard that was the same Cornelius. Now, who's also mentioned in the New Testament, whose entire household was baptized. To answer your initial question, the Cornelius mentioned in the Roman canon, because you're asking specifically about the Roman canon known as Eucharistic Prayer 1, where we have the Litany of the Saints, so to speak, lowercase l, the Litany of the Saints given right after the naming of the apostles. And no, it is not. That Cornelius in the Roman canon, Eucharistic Prayer 1, is listed in a section of the early church martyrs. There's a great article, Cher, that you can find easily enough online. It's titled, Who Are All Those Saints in the Roman Canon? Who Are All Those Saints in the Roman Canon? It's from the National Catholic Register, and it's dated October 3rd, 2017. It's by Kevin D. Camillo, and he talks about each one each saint that's listed in the Roman canon and gives a little paragraph about the history of that saint. And under Cornelius, we have this. Cornelius was a martyr pope who died around 253 AD, who is commemorated in a memorial on September 16th. Thus, he's the martyr pope that you're making reference to that we celebrate the day after as an optional memorial on the saint's calendar. He was an ardent defender not only of the faith in general, but his own papal authority in particular. He's always been celebrated as part of the Roman canon. So remember that when Cornelius is listed in the Roman canon, he's listed with 1st through 3rd century martyrs, okay? And we have no indication that Cornelius, whose entire household was baptized, it's mentioned in the New Testament, was a martyr, nor that he became a pope. So we're making reference to this mid-3rd century martyr pope in the Roman canon. Great question, and thank you for that question about the Roman canon, all the great saints listed in that.
And there's another clue there, because both the lists in Eucharistic Prayer Number 1 are intentionally grouped.
That's right.
And he is found in a list of martyrs. Popes.
Yes, that's right. Popes and martyrs. Yeah. I forget what number it was, but a certain number of the first popes were all martyrs, and he's listed among them. Yeah. Not a safe job necessarily to have.
It probably shouldn't be.
It probably shouldn't be. That's right.
Thanks, Cher. We appreciate the phone call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. A couple of open lines and plenty of time for your calls at 833-288-3986. Next up is Kathleen in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Kathleen, you're on with Father Wade.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
Not too long ago, a friend of mine, this didn't happen to me, had gone to confession for First Saturday, and she shared with me that she just had confessed venial sin and only received a blessing from Father, not absolution. She said, "What to do?" I said, "Pray."
Okay, and you're wondering why the priest would have done that. Is that correct? Just as a point of clarification for the catechesis that I'm going to give.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, technically speaking, we know that venial sins don't need to go to the confessional. There are other ways that venial sins are forgiven. One of the ways that venial sins are forgiven is the confessional. Okay. And if I had a penitent come to me on the first Saturday, trying to make the Five for Saturday devotion in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as revealed by Our Lady to Sister Lucia, one of the Fatima seers, and knowing she was per se making that devotion, which requires confession within 8 days before, within 8 days after the first Saturday itself, I would have definitely have granted her absolution. So if your friend made it clear to the priest that even though these are just venial sins, Father, I am making the first five Saturdays devotion, and so I ask for absolution, he indeed should have given it, okay? He should have indeed given it, given the absolution, even if she wasn't making the five first Saturdays. The only reason why I can think why, actually two reasons why I can think why maybe he gave her only a blessing and did not give her actual absolution, which makes it technically not a confession, but that's okay because there's other ways that venial sins are forgiven, like making an act of contrition, like carrying out any of the three immanent good works or any of the 14 works of mercy in any combination, not for the works themselves, but for the charity they prosper. Between the individual and their fellow neighbor, okay? The only two reasons why I can think why he may have just given her a blessing is, number one, she did not mention the fact that she was making the five first Saturdays. And number two, it could be that her confession of only venial sins came off very scrupulous. No, I'm not saying it was that. I'm just trying to give some light as to why he maybe didn't give her absolution. If a person has been to confession just last week and they come to confession again and it's only venial sins and they name the sins off in a bulleted point fashion or like bullets from a gun, boom, 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 in a very rapid speed of talk, it's clear that they're using confession merely as a crutch. They're not really spiritually trying to advance. Can one go to confession weekly? Absolutely. You bet your life one can go to confession weekly. Mother Teresa and John Paul II did it. Was their weekly confessions an entire same week after week after week peppered list of venial sins? I doubt it. I would say that Mother and Teresa and St. John Paul II, St. Mother Teresa and St. John Paul II, being masters in the spiritual life as they are, they probably took one or two areas that they were really trying to advance in to that regular weekly confession. But when it's the same confession over and over and over with the same 29 points that are all venial, and again, I'm not saying your friend did this, I'm just trying to share light on why the priest may have given her some counsel at the end and said, you know, I'm going to just give you a blessing because you need to advance in the spiritual life and not use confession just as a crutch, okay? Maybe that's why he could have done that. Now, if a penitent came to me and made it clear that they were going to make the five first Saturdays and this was their first of the five or this was their third or this was the fifth or wherever they were in the five first Saturday devotion, I would have clearly have given them absolution so they can fulfill the requirement for the five first Saturday devotion. And even if I thought they were a little scrupulous in the way they confessed, I would have taken some time at the end of the confession to explain that as well, and to help them advance in the spiritual life. That there's nothing wrong with a weekly confession, but if you find that your confession each week is very rote, R-O-T-E, and it's the same things over and over, and you're clearly not advancing, then there's a problem here, and we're using confession as a crutch. Let's say we confess week after week after week the same exact 17 points, and one of those points is, I seriously argued with one of my siblings that I have a particular issue with. I seriously argued with them. It would be nice to make a weekly confession where you have only 14 or no, you have only the 16 points and not the 17 points. Why? Because in this past week, you truly grew and did not argue with that particular sibling. We should see growth in a weekly confession. The weekly confession should not be the same over and over and over again. So again, I'm not saying your friend did any of this. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to shed some light why the priests may have instead given her only a blessing, knowing that it was only venial sins, that he gave her instead just a blessing rather than absolution. And thus it wasn't a confession. But that's okay because she had no mortal sins to confess, and confession remains the ordinary means for mortal sins to be confessed and forgiven. Venial sins can be forgiven in other avenues, which I've already named. So I hope that helps you out, and I hope that helps your friend out and shed some light on why the priest might have done that. So my listeners, to all my listeners, if you're making the five for Saturday devotion and your first Saturday devotion confession within 8 days before or within 8 days after or on the day of the first Saturday itself is a regular periodical confession for you and it is just venial sins, make it clear to the pastor that you're the priest that you're confessing to that even though to the best of your sincerest of knowledge, these are just venial sins, you still ask for absolution because you're making the first Saturday devotion. That would be a wise thing to do.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. A couple of open phone lines and plenty of time for your phone calls here at 833-288-EWTN. Scott, hold on. We're going to a break here in just a minute, and I don't want to cut off your confession, so hold on the line. We want to hear from you. Father Wade, if Johnette were to be assumed body and soul into heaven tomorrow and left me here by myself, and I felt this desire to be an itinerant missionary preacher, could I come and talk to the Fathers of Mercy?
It only depends if Johnette's coming back or not. If she is, no, you cannot join the Fathers of Mercy. But if she's going to stay there, yes,
then
of course.
I still can't because I'm too old.
Well, exceptions can be made, but they're very, very rare, very, very rare. And I'll give that website when we come back.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. If you've got a witness testimony about a crucifix, call us. We want to hear it. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. 3986. As advertised, we're going to Portland, Oregon. Scott is in Portland listening on the EWTN app. Scott, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. And I just want to say hello to Father Wade and yourself. And I just wanted to call and kind of give a little testimony that why I am so in love with the Passion. Especially over the past 3 or 4 years, me and my wife have been going through some very, very difficult times. And there was an extended separation. And what got me through that type of suffering was, at first, I would just go to Mass. And I would I usually sit up front. And I would just see we have a beautiful life-size crucifix over the tabernacle. And I would just look at this crucifix. As I looked over the months that went by, it just occurred to me that how much he loved us, how much he suffered on the cross for us. I mean, you know, here we have God who came down and became a man. And for us, that he would endure the most horrific suffering. Mm. And so it kind of put my own suffering into perspective. And he didn't just die on the cross for Scott. He actually died on the cross for Stacy and every one of us, actually. And it was just through his guidance and just knowing how much he loves us that got me through that. And I kind of consider, I didn't find out until I called the call screener that there is an order called the Passionist. Mm. I didn't even really realize that. And so I've always considered myself a passion when I do my rosaries. I would actually, haven't done it for a while, but would bring up a still of the Passion with, I think it's David Caviezel or whatever his name is.
And Jim Caviezel, yeah.
Right when, yeah, and just when he was crying out, this has to do with chapel as well, but he was crying out, you know, why have you forsaken my God? And it was just all of that, just, and I just came in at the first couple lines of when he was going through that litany of St. Paul of the Cross. And after every single one of them, it was amen, amen, amen. Because if you really, really want to just get so deep into your faith, find out how much he dearly loves you, all you have to do is look at the cross. And I do have a bit of good news. Me and my wife, actually, the divorce went through. But and I look up at the cross now and I say, well, I know you love Stacy as much as I love Stacy. And you want her and us to be a family even more than I do. And so there is a very slow reconciliation coming about. And I just look at the cross and I say, if it wasn't for the cross, none of these good things now would be happening. And you allowed me to go through the suffering, through that suffering that I just could, united with his suffering on the cross. And it's been so beneficial. And I just love my Catholic faith because, like, when I was talking to the call screener, I found out something new that I can, you know, learn about. It's the Passionist of St. John's Cross. And it's just, I'm just so happy that he called me home to be a Catholic.
Amen, Scott. Thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful witness. We really appreciate your call, and may it help a lot of men and women out there in similar situations with their spouses, what you just gave witness to, and how the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was a big part of that. And I'm sure you benefited from my reading at the beginning of Look at the Crucifix. It's a powerful, poetic piece. Anonymous, author unknown, but it's very, very powerful. I want to recommend to my listeners that if you go to fathersofmercy.com, you can download as a PDF file and print it off on your home printer, Look at the Crucifix. So when you go to fathersofmercy.com, the homepage comes up, click on the little magnifying glass icon, and then a search bar comes up after you click on that little icon of the magnifying glass. On the search bar, just simply type in the words, Look at the Crucifix, and press enter, and then it comes up as a PDF file. And I also would like to offer to you, Scott, to look at also at the fathersofmercy.com website, fathersofmercy.com, my 25 specifically Catholic marriage tips. 25 specifically Catholic marriage tips. So again, if you go to fathersofmercy.com, homepage, click on the magnifying glass icon, then the search bar comes up. On the search bar, simply type in 25, that's 2 and a 5, the numbers, 25 specifically Catholic marriage tips. And it comes right up again as a PDF file, and may that enrich you and your wife, and maybe both of you can read those, if not together, individually. Maybe take it to prayer in a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel and read it slowly and mark up in the margins what really stands out for you. Thank you so much, Scott, for a great witness.
God bless you, Scott, and we will keep you in our prayers as well. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. I'm glad to see that list is now 25 and not 26.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you took Don't Marry Jack Williams off the list. Next up is Jenny in the great state of Pennsylvania. She's listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Jenny, you are on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Okay, I have a question. I went to a church, and because they were having an exhibit, and the exhibit was, it must have been like 25 or 30 relics of different saints, like Teresa of Avila.
Sure.
And it was beautiful. But then it way in the corner, and it was just special. There was a kneeler there. It was a sliver of the actual cross of Jesus Christ. I didn't read it, but I couldn't see. It was dark. But everyone, yeah, that's a piece of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I knelt down and I prayed and I just thought, is there still in existence a piece of the cross of the crucifixion?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. There are many so-called relics of the cross, but because it's such an ancient relic, it's hard to get official papers on it identified as such from the Vatican, okay? Like a more modern-day saint, you can get an official certificate with a Vatican seal of approval that this is indeed, for example, a bone chip of Saint so-and-so. But it's hard to do that with the relic of the cross. So, for example, I know of two cases where purportedly or supposedly it was a relic of the cross, and then the carbon dating was done, and it only went back to about the 16th or 15th century. So, we have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with that. Relics are meant to lead us to a greater devotion of the saint in question, even with the relic of the cross. The exaltation of the cross feast day is today, and indeed we love the cross, but who died on the cross is what's more important, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He made the cross the tree of life after the tree in the center of the garden of Eden, the tree of good and evil, was the cause of our downfall. The cross was the cause of our life, the cause, we could call it the tree of life. So, you know, relics include the physical remains of a saint, for example, of a person whose cause has been introduced as a servant of God, or they've been declared venerable, or they're beatified, or they're canonized, okay? That's when the public veneration can begin to take place, when they're declared servant of God. And you have first-class relics, which is something of their own, themselves their own, a bone chip or a lock of hair. I have a little strand of hair of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, for example. Or it could be a second-class relic, something they owned, okay? Maybe a piece of their habit, for example. Or a third-class relic, which is 100% cotton or woolen cloth touched to a first-class relic. That's what makes that cloth a third-class relic. So we have first, second, and third-class relics of the saints. But when it comes to the relics of the true cross, we do need to be careful with that, because precisely it's such an ancient, ancient relic. And so we want to be careful with that. And then even with the saints, we want to try to venerate those relics only that are officially approved by the church. This is why it's so important to try to have relics or to venerate relics that have official papers. And many, many, many of them do. Now, we see in the New Testament and the Old Testament, but I want to talk about the New Testament, where we have the passages that give us the backup for this doctrine concerning the relics. So, for example, in the Acts of the Apostles, we read, "Meanwhile, God worked extraordinary miracles at the hands of St. Paul. When handkerchiefs or cloths which had touched his skin were applied to the sick, their diseases were cured and evil spirits departed from them." Acts 19. Then we have those who, after the ascension of our Lord, wanted to just fall under the shadow of Peter as Peter walked by, okay? And that's something that's immaterial, a shadow. But they recognize something there that the apostles had in power, and we not of their own merit, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And this is what we see in the lives of the saints that we venerate, and thus we honor them in their relics as well. Always, always, always pointing to Jesus Christ.
Does that help, Jenny?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you for your call.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Still time for your calls at 833-288-3986. Marie is in Des Moines, Iowa today, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio. Marie, you're on with Father Wade.
Thank you. I just had a story about a crucifix that dramatically impacted my life. My husband was struggling with pornography addiction, and we were working on our marriage. We both wanted to work on it. We were doing well, but I just had this lingering anxiety, fear of we're working on this and this is all going well, but then this cycle can just keep coming around and around, and this pain that I'm enduring right now, I'm going to have to possibly continue to endure. And I went into adoration. It was late at night. I was there by myself, and I was just in tears of how do I love? How can I love when I'm going to get hurt again? And I heard the words in my soul that just said, look up, and there was the crucifix. And then I heard the words, this is love. And it was like scales fell from my eyes, and I was just like, oh. And then I stopped crying, and I'm like, okay, that's a different expectation. But I had a very worldly view of what love is. Love is 50-50. Love is I do my part, you do your part. Love is you make me feel good. Love is, you know, everything that the world says. And it was just an instant, just revelation of I have the total wrong idea of what love is. And it was instantly clarified, and I'm happy to say that was 10 years ago, and we're still married and haven't had too many traumatic issues, but just that expectation of hurt happens when you love.
Yeah, love involves the cross, Marie, and you explain it so well with your witness, another witness call through you, just like with Scott earlier before you, and I thank you for that. Love loves the cross, if we could say that, right? Love loves the crucifix. The crucifix is love. God dying for us is love. No greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends, huh? And that applies to us even now, and you're called to lay down your life for your covenantal spouse. I want to urge you and your husband, Marie, if you both can, to read together or privately in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, or together in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, not all at once, but just slowly, with an ink pen to mark up on the margins what stands out for you, my 25 specifically Catholic marriage tips. I also want to say, I don't know if it came about by happenstance or if he did it purposely, and I don't need to know whether he did it by happenstance or whether he did it purposefully. He went to you for accountability. He went to his wife for accountability with his pornography addiction. And I think that's a great thing. St. Philip Neri says, when we go to confession, and this is an example that's kind of applicable, when we go to confession, we should confess the most wicked and evil mortal sins up front, because it throws the devil in confusion. Well, if a married man has a pornography addiction that he's keeping secret from his wife, and yet he opens up to his wife about it, that throws the devil into absolute confusion. Same thing with single men. Single men who aren't married should have an accountability partner, a male friend of theirs, a female friend of theirs that they can open up to, somebody they're very, very close to. That's analogous to the love that you see in a covenantal relationship, somebody that you know is really going to help you. For the singles, priests who suffer from this should have a priest accountability partner, where at the time of temptation, they could even call the priest friend and say, look, I'm struggling with this right now. Help talk me out of it. Pray for me. Let's pray together on the phone. Same thing, whether single, married, widowed, widows and widowers struggle with this. It's becoming a more increasing problem with women, pornography is. So I just think it's fantastic. And again, I don't know if it happened by happenstance or if it happened purposefully so, but you know about his pornography addiction, and that throws the devil into confusion, and it allows healing to begin to take place. Please do, Marie, print out on your home printer my 25 specifically Catholic marriage tips, and share those with your husband. Read them together. Read them individually. And if you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to even have me come give the talk on the 25 specifically marriage tips at your parish with your pastor's permission, it would be an honor to do so. We'll make a day out of it with a marriage retreat. Thank you so much for just a fantastic witness call, Marie. We really appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. You know, Father Wade's given some great advice today, and if maybe you missed some of it or perhaps you'd like somebody else to hear that, we encore the program, Open Line, every day at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, including Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade, so you can revisit Father Wade's answers or have someone else check them out at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, the encore of Open Line. Next up is Mina in Ontario, Canada, listening on the EWTN app. Mina, you're on with Father Wade.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
What can we do for you today?
I like to ask Father Wade if what I'm doing to my rosary is all right, because I set it myself.
Go right ahead.
Father Wade?
Yes, yes, I'm here, Mina. I can hear you fine. How is it that your rosary that you say personally is a little different, and you want to know if that difference is okay?
Yes. Before I start my rosary, I pray to Our Lady of Fatima, Queen of the Rosary. I would say, Our Lady of Fatima, Queen of the Rosary, I start you deign to come to Fatima, to the three shepherd children, the treasure of the rosary.
Right.
And by meditating the mystery, I offer it for conversion of sinners.
Sure.
And of abortion, and of war. And
so, in other words, you have a different intention for each decade of the rosary. Is that correct?
Yes, I do, too. And I always said, bind my children and grandchildren and my extended family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
And that's perfectly okay. You know what I do? I keep a little Mead notebook, M-E-A-D, a little Mead notebook that I picked up at Walgreens, and I write down all my intentions. When people ask me to pray for them, I write them down in this little Mead notebook. And when I say my rosary every day, I say 5 decades faithfully every day. It's part of our constitutions with the Fathers of Mercy. Sometimes I do a second set of mysteries. I just lift up my Mead notebook and everything that's in there. And I also have done the St. Louis de Montfort consecration, the 33-day consecration to Our Lady. So I say, Our Lady, there's intentions that I have no idea about, but you do. So I'm consecrated to you. So let my rosary, through my consecration to you, and you lead me to your son, let this rosary also be for those intentions, Our Lady, that you know about that I don't know about. So I even say that in addition to lifting up my little Mead notebook. Okay? This is the beautiful thing about the rosary, about the Divine Mercy Chaplet, about making the consecration to Our Blessed Mother or to St. Joseph and praying the St. Joseph Chaplet. There's no set rules. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows your particular willed intentions that you make with a frequent and fervent, deliberate act of the will. And that's what makes it so great. So no, you're fine listing your own intentions on different days for the different decades. Although I got to be honest with you, as I get older, I thank the Lord for my little Mead notebook, because I can just lift it up visually in my mind and in my heart, and I know that everything written down in there is getting lifted up in a very particular way. So you might want to start writing some stuff down, Mina, and just say, Lord, everything I've written down on that sheet of paper or that little notebook, I lift to you. Now, Mina, I want to ask you, I travel a lot as an itinerant missionary preacher, so I know accents pretty well. Are you a Filipina?
Yes.
And do you make good pancit canton?
Yes.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do.
How about lumpia?
Yeah. Yes, lumpia too. Lumpia also.
How about adobo?
Yes.
Okay.
My grandchildren's favorite.
Okay, now here's
I'll race you to Ontario, Father Wade.
Now here's the big question, Mina, but it doesn't have to do with Filipino food. Are you ready?
Yes.
Do you play Mahjong?
Pardon me?
Do you play Mahjong? Do you know what Mahjong is?
Oh, no, no.
You don't
I don't gamble, Father. That's narrow.
Well, if you just use pennies or nickels, it's okay.
Well, sometimes the OLG, Ontario Lottery.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, as long as you budget for it, and it's not taken away from any other expenses, but you budget for it as a little form of recreation, that's okay, and it doesn't consume you and become addictive. That's okay.
God bless you, Mina. We appreciate the call. Quickly, we'll head to Maria, a first-time listener in New York City watching us on YouTube. Maria, just a couple minutes left with Father Wade. What's your question today? Maria, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, what's your question, Maria? Just a couple minutes left here with Father Wade.
I stated my questions already, and I was put on hold.
Yes, and you're live on the air right now with Father Wade. So go ahead and ask your question now.
What's your question, Maria?
Okay, so hello, Father Wade.
Hello.
This is actually the first time me watching you. I usually watch you on the at the Mass. So thank you for wonderful sermons that you give.
Oh, thank you.
My question is, I am 42 years old. If I get emotional, you have to forgive me.
Take your time.
I have been through so much in my life, and I feel like I'm just stuck, you know. And I realize I'm 42 years old. I have no husband, no children. And I'm stuck. And sometimes I feel that somehow I have been forsaken and forgotten by God. But all through my hardship, I kept the prayers. I kept the faith.
Amen. Amen.
And I wonder, sometimes I feel that the life that I'm living, it's not my own. I never imagined to be stuck this way, and I just don't know how I can move forward.
In other words, single with no children is what you're saying. If I'm understand you correctly, and please let me know if I'm wrong, and we got just literally about a minute and a half here. You said, I'm not married. I have no children. I have my faith. It's a strong faith. How do I fight the urge to only ask myself, what have I done wrong that I'm in this state? Well, let me offer this to you. Maybe you've done nothing wrong. Maybe your state in life is singlehood in the world, to be able to free yourself up to do so much for our Lord Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. There's a Wednesday audience from the time of Pope St. John Paul II where he said, singles living in the world are actually those who can do the most for the church and for the world, because they have no schedule or orarium like a religious does in their monastery. They have no spouse or children that need their utmost attention like the marrieds do. So in one sense, singles are the most free to do the most for the church and for our Lord. Now, I'm not saying you're called to singlehood. I'm just trying to help you understand how you can answer that question when you want to be tempted to ask yourself, what have I done wrong that I'm still single and have no children? Well, maybe that's your vocation and state in life. Okay, be open to that. Contemplate and even write down what your good qualities are, natural gifts that God has given you, and how those can be employed. Maybe you're a tremendously patient person. Maybe you're tremendous with children. Maybe you're tremendous with helping people in crisis situations. Maybe you could volunteer time with a crisis organization as a phone call taker. These are just things. What are your natural gifts, in other words? Okay. Never give up on yourself. God's given you talents. God's given you gifts. The other thing is, if you do feel called to marriage, if you do feel called to courtship, put yourself in scenarios and in environments where you can meet good, solid Christian people in your age group that you can share interests with.
Father Wade, give that website you promised for the Fathers of Mercy.
Fathersofmercy.com.
Would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener, Matt Gubensky, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to Open Line Tuesday. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.